yourself. For a terrifying tale of fear, lust, and insanity.
Live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com, Rick, it's the Tuesday Night Blitz.
Yes, indeed. We are Fleeger and Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum. Drop us a line at AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
A Twitter feed of note at Asylum Football.
Yes, indeed. Don't forget iTunes. Subscribe for free. Rate us.
Even a one if you have to. We will take that. Rick just wants ratings.
Yes, we need ratings. Give us a comment. You know, don't just put in stars. Give us a comment.
You get kind of demanding now. Wow. Let them go rate the Jesus. What else do we say? Oh, to all you locals, 88.1 FM WSRU, the voice of the rock.
Yes, indeed. And I tell you, thanks for taking a little time and listening to the Asylum. Training camp has started this week, Rick.
Yeah, a lot of excitement down in Dallas already. Tony Romo apparently going to be okay after that cyst remove. Seems to be the only news in camp to this point, but you know, the rest of them getting rolling this week. Look, as a football fan, it's kind of exciting, although this is the kind of time of year, just like the week between the championship games and the Super Bowl, that I get a little annoyed that you start seeing stuff just get way, way overblown, and it's starting to annoy me already, Rick.
Well, it doesn't take much to annoy you.
That's
but,
fair.
I did see something that was very interesting.
Yeah, that's
Dez Bryant and was playing catch.
Well, yeah, that's really interesting. Wow.
that was a story I saw.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Jason Garrett and Dez Bryant were playing catch.
Pro Bowl wide receivers practicing catching passes.
With the coach.
News at 11. You know, that's what I'm talking about. But, no, definitely exciting time. Start to get some of these questions answered, Rick. We've been talking for 2 or 3 months now, and pretty much the answer to every question, to every lineup issue, to every positional battle is, well, we'll have to see what happens in camp. Well, apparently now we're finally going to find out. So, Rick, a big show tonight. I'd probably keep it fantasy football for you guys that are into that. For guys like me, I apologize. You may want to tune out. I'm not sure. But just a few headlines, a few things we got to hit on, and then we're going to roll out our first official rankings, our initial preseason rankings. Rick, we'll just go through position by position. If you check out our new homepage at AsylumFantasyFootball.com, go to the rankings section. You'll see Rick's rankings. You'll see my rankings. They put them all together and made a fancy line, some impressive stuff. But there was some stuff, Rick, I think I want to go through. Obviously, you just want to go through the rankings, and these are going to move day to day.
Oh, yeah.
I'm certain. It's certainly week to week in my case, probably day to day in yours. It's just a work ethic thing, I think. However, it's interesting. There was some I was really surprised how close you and I were, and there was some that we just weren't even in the same ballpark on, and I think that's what I want to discuss here.
Oh, no doubt. And obviously, you will have one view as to why he's high or low, and I will have another. And it'll be interesting to compare notes as to why we think that way. But definitely check out the news site. And we thank, again, Scott Fish, at ScottFish24 on Twitter, for the redesigning our website. It's really cool. It's easy to maneuver through. You can find everything there. New blogs are going to be popping up. The rankings, like Rick says, will be changing all the time.
And it looks like a competent adult created it,
well,
unlike
it
the old site.
It did.
Exactly. So there's a
difference between Scott Fish
and Rick Fleeger.
Right.
You know?
Our Hall of Fame looks wonderful. And, you know, we have the current inductees from this year and the inaugural class. It just looks great. So make sure you check it out. And don't forget, I'm pimping the iTunes.
We are
moving up. Get on iTunes. Subscribe for free. And give us a rating. Write some comments in there, what you like, what you didn't like, and you know, give us some feedback, some information, things we can do better, things we can change. Obviously, we can't do anything better because we are perfect, but we will take that into consideration.
Yeah, we'll at least entertain it. You know, we'll probably tell you to blow it. Well, I can't say that on SRU, but we will certainly entertain it for a second. Something else, Rick, let's go ahead and throw it out there. I don't think we've landed on a hard date yet and what the exact format's going to be, but some excitement for those of you who've been with us from the beginning. You know, as we get closer to the season, we go to two episodes a week. Historically, it's been this Tuesday show here on the Blitz and then a Friday night show. Looking this year, Rick, at going to Sunday mornings, maybe 9 to 11, 10 to 12. I don't think we've signed it up yet, but a two-hour call-in show in the morning on Sunday mornings once the season gets rolling, and maybe an hour show before it just to get warmed up, to get me used to getting out of bed before 12:30 on a Sunday. We'll do a couple of dry runs for that. And so, you know, keep that in mind. You got your four-letter network. You got the NFL network. Who needs that when you have the Asylum? Rick and I will be here. You got lineup questions. You can call in. We'll give the number out when the show comes. You tweet us. You email us. That's what we're going to do. We are going to keep you up to date every Sunday morning, and we're going to set your lineup for you. And obviously, you're going to win a championship then.
No doubt about that. You know, so, and as things get going, like Rick says, we'll figure out the exact date and maybe make a couple dry runs, so forth. But, you know, drop us emails, Twitter, phone calls, you know, and just keep it going, and we will set your lineup.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. So more to come on that. Should be in the next couple of weeks here. Early to middle part of August, we'll get rolling on that. Maybe do an hour for the first couple of weeks, and then in week one, we'll roll out 2 hours, and we'll do it. And, hey, if you want to sponsor it, less about the money, but if you could send us some sort of commercial, whatever you want to sell that we can plug in there so we can go to the bathroom, we'd really appreciate that, too. That's how you get advertisers, Rick. We don't need a lot of money, but we just want to be able to go to the bathroom.
Right, exactly. I mean, because if I get up and go to the bathroom, Rick will just start staring, and he'll quit talking.
That's true. I get distracted easily.
And then if he gets up, I'll talk, but it'll be the same sentence over
and
over.
Yeah, he's not smart. He needs me to push him along. I actually have a stick here, so you can't see it. This should be a video podcast. Yeah. And when he dozes off, which he does a lot because, you know, of his age, or when he gets confused and forgets what he said and gets excited, he's got an idea in his head, you know, I just poke him with the stick. It's kind of like, I think we've talked about this on the show before, the Amish do that. You know, they go to church for like 14 hours on Sunday or something. And the guy, I don't know if they're called deacons or whatever, for the purposes of this discussion, we're going to call them deacons.
Do they use parsons still?
What's a parson?
Well, I mean the old movies and stuff, you know, the parson. That was the preacher. And it was country in the westerns, the country church, the parson.
Well, it could be. It could be a parson. I don't know what it is. But either way, there's guys walking around, and this is a job, and you have a stick. And when people fall asleep, they poke them with a stick. Well, we do the same thing here. And pretty close to Amish country. I believe you were on a show based out of L.A. one time, Rick, where they actually accused you of being Amish. They think everybody east of the Mississippi is Amish, so sort of fits right into the theme. Well, Rick, let's get into it. Just a few small headlines. I don't know if this is a big deal. Rick, are you going to move Doug Martin down on your rankings now that the Bucs have signed Peyton Hillis?
No, I don't believe I'm going to. I think it was probably a decent signing for the Bucs. For depth. I mean, they got Brian Leonard really second in the depth chart behind Martin.
I like Leonard as a third down back, though.
I like Leonard. But Hillis, if that's a big word when you're talking Peyton Hillis, has a decent attitude, that's a big if. If he comes into camp in shape, another if. Maybe not super huge if. But, you know, I don't know. He's not that skilled, but he's a big bruising back. He could give him an added dimension, but I don't look much for him. I mean, that's just simple as that. I just think it's more depth on that running back.
Yeah. My first thought is to be dismissive of it, sort of the way you were there, and I was when I asked the question. As I sit here and think about it, if there's a 10% chance you get Peyton Hillis from two seasons ago, where he busted out. The only fear I would have, and I don't think it's a legitimate fear now, we're just going to sort of have to watch it, and it certainly doesn't devalue Doug Martin to me whatsoever. Does Peyton Hillis take some goal line carries away? He's solid around the goal. He's a big guy. He's a bruising guy. Now, this is attitude aside, health aside. Assuming he's the Peyton Hillis that we saw a couple years ago in Cleveland and put up those huge numbers, is there the possibility he becomes a goal line type of back? Now, to be fair, Doug Martin isn't much of a goal line type of back. A lot of his touchdowns came from 10 yards and out. He did it several times. But you just wonder, you know, Peyton Hillis can catch the ball around the goal line. They, you know, Cleveland used him in that role quite a bit. It's nothing I really fear, but it's something to sort of have in the back of your mind. If anything, I think it makes Tampa Bay better.
Okay,
it makes them better.
Here's just a little theory that I have. Who does Peyton Hillis in stature and running style remind you of that Shiano could not stand?
Shiano could not. He's got a little LeGarrette Blount to him.
You
Is
see
that
what I'm
saying?
And it almost looks like a LeGarrette Blount that Shiano likes.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of nonsense you dealt with LeGarrette Blount. Now, to be fair, there was a lot of nonsense with Peyton Hillis.
You're not kidding.
Railed against him for 3 solid weeks, if I remember last season.
Yeah, my agent
really
told
offended.
Me not I shouldn't be playing because I was sick.
Yeah, he couldn't go to the Children's Hospital or something, too. Wasn't there a situation like that? A healthy Peyton Hillis with his mind right could be interesting. That's all I'm saying. I have no fear for Doug Martin. I think it does make Tampa Bay a little bit better. I really do, if they can manage to work him in the offense.
Yeah, I think that's about as far as it goes right now.
Yeah, not a lot of fantasy implications, but the big news yesterday, Von Miller suspended 4 games, tested positive. Here's what I found interesting, Rick. Tested positive in 2011 for marijuana and amphetamine use. I haven't seen what took so long for this to come to light. Obviously, he's appealing now, so is there an appeal process beforehand? What's been going on for the last 2 years that this is just happening now?
That I don't know. I'm not real sure what's going on. He still admits he's done nothing wrong. So I don't know where this is going, quite frankly.
Yeah, so a big hit to a good Broncos defense, I think.
I know he's going to appeal. So if he happens to go through the appeal process, gets exonerated, no harm, no foul, obviously.
Yeah.
But if he goes through the process, they still find him guilty, what kind of suspension is coming down?
Well, even if it's the same 4 game, that's something I was thinking about, Rick. And you almost have to wonder in the back of your head, is he innocent? Because, and I say that because, you take the 4-game suspension now at the beginning of the year, or you appeal it. If they get this thing wrapped up by midseason, now you're facing a 4-game suspension down the stretch, maybe going into the playoffs. It's a risky move, so I find it interesting. You almost have to give – these things so often turn out to be true, and we're going to talk about that next just real briefly. So often it turns out to be true and that these tests were accurate. Why do you take that risk? Why do you push it back? You would think you'd rather be suspended for 4 games in September than in December and January.
Yeah, you would think so. He put out a tweet, you know, saying, "I know I did nothing wrong. I'm sure this will be resolved fairly." The NFL Players Association said it's working closely with Miller to appeal the suspension and is very disappointed that confidentiality was breached. Now, there's something... Apparently, this has been behind closed doors for some time.
Something been going on behind the scenes since 2011, I have to assume.
Yeah, I guess so. And so there's a lot of things that we haven't heard about, obviously.
And I'm sure more and more to come to light. So in talking about drug tests, Rick has nothing to be. This will be our little bit of non-football segment. Just real quick, I find it interesting, mainly because I hate the guy as a devout and much beleaguered Pittsburgh Pirates fan. Hate Ryan Braun. If you're a Pirates fan or a Brewers fan, you understand, and I won't waste your time tonight talking about that. But Ryan Braun gets it overturned on a technicality, really plays it up when he gets it overturned and comes back. League comes back, proves it again, suspended for the rest of the year. Rumor, you know who's bitter about that, Rick? That's why I wanted to bring this up. This is an interesting story. There's a quote out there from Aaron Rodgers back when he hit positive the first time, where Aaron Rodgers said he would bet his yearly salary that Ryan Braun was innocent, and he looked like he was right until all of a sudden. Now I'm wondering, I don't know who he made, he obviously just threw it out in general.
Right.
Is there like a government trust fund when you say something stupid like that, where Aaron Rodgers is going to have to deposit $4.5 million because it turns out Aaron was wrong? You said before the show, A-Rod looking like he could be banned for life, second-hand lying. Yeah, I find it. I remember, Rick, we had this conversation, I think it was with Patrick Johnson of the Ravens a long while back when we had, I think it was before the Super Bowl when we had him on. The steroid thing, Rick, it's not popular. I think we talked about it before. I honestly don't care about it. I guess I want a level playing field. I think what I want to see is if these leagues, you see it more in baseball, it's in the headlines now, but there's been how many guys, Rick, nobody we've really mentioned on the show because nobody really of note in terms of fantasy football or even big names in terms of the NFL, but so many guys, four games for performance-enhancing drugs. Do you want it to go away, Rick, or do you want the league to get tougher to make it go away? I'm really tired of hearing about it. I'm just over it. These guys, I think the guys that are coming, there's probably guys that are completely clean. There's the guys who are getting popped. I think there's a larger segment of all professional athletes who are doing this, but doing it with things that they don't know about yet, that things that haven't been discovered. That's what I find. I think everybody's doing something. I'm just sort of tired of hearing about it. I'm to the point where I want to say, let's just make these sports leagues the Wild West. If that's what you want to do, you do it. It's your body. You take the risk.
I see your point. There's no question about that. I wish, and like you, I'm getting tired of hearing about it. I really do. These things are drawn out. They take forever. They take up headlines that they shouldn't be taking up, as far as I'm concerned. If they would make, if you, whatever it is, you know, I mean, we had this discussion before. I don't have a problem with these guys getting busted for it. It is, these are the rules. If you get caught, it's the same thing. In fact, I think we named a podcast, like smoking in the boys' room.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. You get caught, you pay the consequences. The thing is, the consequence, okay, you missed two games or you missed four games. Make it a season. Make these guys, if they're going to gamble with this stuff, you know, if you want to do it, fine. If you get caught, it's proven, you're out for a year, end of story, the headlines go away. And I really think, and I'm sure there's still always going to be these chemists out there saying, gee, maybe we can come up with something that doesn't
get
detected. And they will, obviously.
There's still not a true accepted HGH test, which I think most people agree runs rampant in the NFL.
Right.
And I got to tell you what, if I could get a hold of some of that stuff, I just don't know where to go. I'd do it in a heartbeat from everything I've read about that
I'm just saying, if you are a guy, you know, a player, And you go through all this, and you do get caught. Okay, I miss a quarter of a season.
Yeah, that's you nailed it.
Significant, yes. However, it's not devastating. You're
right.
Still getting paid. Say you're getting paid $4 million. You're still getting paid $3 million.
Right.
It's not like you're losing a year's salary, anything like that.
Yeah, you nailed it, and that's it right there. And here's the question. I'll use Ryan Braun, and these numbers are rough. I had them written down, and I didn't bring it with me. So he's going to miss 60-some-odd games. That comes out to be I don't know how many millions of dollars. This man has, at minimum, a $120 million contract. So here's a question I'm going to ask you, Rick, and I know the answer to it. This is basically a rhetorical question. If I would sign you to a 10-year, $120 million contract, which I think is less than what Ryan's Braun contract is, I don't remember the exact number, and I would say, but at some point, you are going to have to be suspended for half a season, 60, more like 60-some games, so less than half a season, and put up with this public ridicule and probably be booed in visiting stadiums and taunted. You're going to have to give up that half a year. So what's that, about $4 or $5 million?
Right.
But at the end of the day, you're going to walk away with $114 million. You will take that deal all day, every day.
And I'll be happy.
And look at the Von Miller situation. Not performance-enhancing drugs. They're talking marijuana and amphetamines, although I think amphetamines, I don't imagine he's doing crystal meth. I'm thinking they were those, remember like back in the 70s, all the ball players used to take those greenies? I think that's probably for performance, is the amphetamines. And there was a story, Von Miller had to give, if he ends up being suspended, he's going to have to give $800,000 of his signing bonus back. He's still walking away with $6 or $7 million. You'll take that deal, too, because I don't think what we don't realize as fans and as guys like us especially who overanalyze it, we look at a four-game suspension in the NFL. You think about it in terms of how it affects your team, your favorite team, your fantasy team, your players, what that looks like. For this guy, it's just four games. That's his job. That's his job. If you know you're going to get your job back, Rick, you get sent home for 25% of your work year. So for 3 months, you're in trouble, Rick. You take 3 months off. We're not going to pay you, but you're making this ridiculous money. But when you come back, no bubbles, no troubles. This isn't going to follow you around. You pick up your ridiculous salary again. It sounds like a pretty good deal, too. I think what we forget, this is just a job to these guys. They're trying to make that money. They have a 5 to 10 year window, closer to five for a lot of these guys. To make that money, it's a risk worth taking. So to your point, one of two things has to happen. To my point, just let them do it. to your point, if you don't want to do it, you got to make it hurt. Maybe it's lifetime bans. Maybe what you do, I remember in the conversation with Patrick Johnson how careful they had to be with all the supplements and everything they took, that the list is so expansive that you couldn't take, was it Sudafed, I believe, is what Patrick was talking about. All right, cut it down to true steroids, true performance-enhancing drugs. Cut it down to an easy, manageable list.
And
you
maybe,
violate this,
and maybe
you
that's
don't play
where,
in our league again.
Maybe that's where the testing is so vague, they can't necessarily do
it's,
that.
It's possible.
If you take Sudafed, it may be the same thing as HD. You know,
probably.
In a test,
and that's
you know
probably
what
it comes down to.
And that's probably why they do that. However, I don't know. I'm just sitting here thinking that, you know, they need to do something more severe.
But I think what you do, like I said, you give them free rein, which is my way, and I think that's just the differences between us. I honestly, it's their body, it's their career. You do whatever you want to do. I don't care. If you don't want it in your sport, you cut it down to a manageable, understandable list. Find a way to test it, because to your point, you're going to have to find a way to differentiate between Sudafed and amphetamines, which I think is what's close. Because isn't it Sudafed? And don't you have to get that from the pharmacist now, because all them guys blowing themselves up in outhouses making meth.
Right.
But you get it down to a small, manageable list that these guys can understand. Here's the list. You do not take these. If you do, you don't play in our league again. That's what stops it, for the most part. Maybe some guys are still willing to take the risk to get that first check, but by and large, that stops it. Right now, 4-game suspension, if you take too much cough medicine, it's too confusing. There's still too much of a payoff, too much of a risk to do it. So that's my rant on that. That has nothing to do with anything, Rick. Why don't we talk a little bit about fantasy football and talk about our preseason, our first preseason rankings?
Yeah, and we're going to do that just a moment.
Oh, you got something.
I just want to bring up a point. You know, all the talk about, of course, you know, they're playing one game over in London and so forth.
I believe there's two this year, isn't there?
Yeah, and they're wanting, you know, the talk is getting heated up about a franchise over there.
Don't get me started.
Now. Just this past week, the British Open was played at Muirfield, Scotland. Great tournament. Loved it. It was a great. Phil Mickelson shoot 66, tied for the low round of the tournament to come back from, God, I think it was like 5 or 6 shots back, and he won going away. However, that's not really the story. Out of the purse that he won over in Scotland, now bear in mind, he won the Scottish Open the week before.
Okay.
And then he won the British Open the week after.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Out of the prize money for those two opens that he won, he keeps 39%.
39%?
39%.
That's your tax rate in England.
There you go.
What's that? I'm not smart. 61%. Was that right?
There you go.
Bingo. I got it.
He keeps 39%.
Wow, that's brutal.
It's just something for the NFL to think about, I would think.
Well, I think we've talked about it. We don't go into it. But just the travel, it just makes no sense. The game doesn't translate anywhere. Look. We don't have any British listeners, you don't think, do we?
Oh, sure we do.
You know, if we do, we won't after this. I watched, Rick, last night, yesterday afternoon, I was in the waiting room of a doctor's office, so I was held hostage. I didn't watch this on my own. That what's-his-name and the skinny chick had the baby, the princess
They're not Prince Charles, Andrew, I guess.
Whatever.
I don't
know. So they have this baby. And they're showing, there's two scenes. They're showing the castle.
Oh, no, William and Kate. That's who it is. Yeah, there we go. Well,
whatever.
I got to get this right.
No, I don't care. Yeah. That's sort of my point.
I don't either. But,
here's what
accurate information is always.
Fair enough. These people care about. Soccer. Don't get me started on soccer. And these royals. So they're showing the hospital. There must be 100,000 people standing outside the hospital. For what? I don't know. Now, you know, I'm fortunate enough I have one child. Obviously, no one would care. But it wasn't until I was going home that we walked outside with the kids. You don't really, you know, it ain't the Michael Jackson. They weren't going to dangle the thing out the window. And then there was more people standing outside the palace. Now, I don't know. Let's just say, for argument's sake, the hospital's 10 miles away from the palace. What the hell are you doing standing outside the palace? What's going to happen? You know what they were standing there for?
Really?
At some point, this chick come out with an easel.
On an easel,
and an 8x10 picture with the kid's name and weight on it. I think it'll be on the internet. You don't have to stand outside like a doofus.
They had these
people you're trying to take my game to. This is my game, and you're trying to take it over to these I caught myself. Over to these people, and I won't stand for it. It's got to stop.
They had a town crier, too, I saw, with the bell and the wig, you know, and the little Patriot
thing.
These
are who they're trying to give my game to. It infuriates me, Rick.
I'm glad.
You're trying to get me back on track here.
Yeah, back
on
track.
Talk about your rankings. I got to calm down.
Okay. Yeah, but we're going to, as we pimped earlier in the show, was brutally made evident in the chat room that we were just having pimp talk. Since we are since we are new, are pimping our new look website,
you know,
thanks to Scott Fish.
Pimping ain't easy.
Pimping the website.
Pimping ain't easy.
And you go to the ranking page, and like Rick said earlier, they're up, they're brand new, and you see columns of the positions and the names of players where they're ranked. You have RB for you illiterates out there. It's Rick Briggs. RF is Rick Fleeger. And then the average is what we had them ranked, and that, boom, calculates automatically, and that's where they're ranked.
That's impressive.
So what we wanted to discuss, and the quarterbacks really aren't that big of a deal because we are almost like dead on the whole way down through. So we're just basically going to skip. I mean, I think the biggest jump is you had Andy Dalton at 21. I have him at 14.
Yeah, you're higher on Andy Dalton.
Yeah, a little bit. I like his weapons.
You know,
14, I like the team.
You have him as a high end too, and if assuming one or two guys gets hurt, you have him starting.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, he didn't do that bad last year. He's got AJ Green, Hawkins. They got a great defense. I think the run game is going to be even better. I mean, he had Green Ellis last year, who was a fairly decent low-end RB2 meat and potatoes guy, and now with Bernard in there, I think they're going to be more solid. So I kind of like him as a backup quarterback right now. But let's move on to running backs where we start.
Well, let's talk about, Rick, at least before we move on, for people who aren't listening to the – maybe there's people without the internet. Well, I guess they're not listening to the show without the internet.
Yeah,
but
yeah, they got the long string with the coffee can.
There you go. But we're showing Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. We're showing Rodgers 1, Brees 2. It was a tie. I had Brees 1, you had Rodgers 1. Not going to have that debate. Both of us, Cam Newton at 3. You had him at 4. I actually had him at 3. Cam Newton, a guy I'm really high on. Tom Brady, who's slipping way down. This is the only thing I found interesting. You know, you and I maybe just stuck in our ways, still have Brady up there in the top 5. You have Manning as 3. That's what I was interested in. I had him down at 6, actually behind Matt Ryan. Maybe that's the debate, the Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan debate, if we're going to have one. Look, I'm not going to sit here and argue against Peyton Manning with you.
I mean,
that's insanity. I just think what they're doing in Atlanta, you may see, if I see a couple preseason games and I start to get excited, you may see Matt Ryan in my number 3 slot. He may go up that far. That's how much I'm believing in him.
And no, I do. I love the guy, too. Just as of right now, I mean, I think there are – this could actually be a Super Bowl right here.
No question. I think that's the favorite for the Super Bowl going into the season.
I like Matt Ryan's run game better this year than last year.
Certainly.
Turner could not get it done. You know, consequently, they were doing a little more passing than they wanted to down the red zone. May not have to this year. We're splitting hairs there. I just really like Peyton Manning. I really loved him coming back last year. I grabbed him in a lot of leagues, as you can attest to. I was a firm believer in him when a lot of guys were really staying away from him. I think just with that extra year, he always keeps himself in great shape, always preparing. Him and Demaryius Thomas and Decker are really used to each other. Welker's a veteran.
You know what? That's a headline we skipped, Rick, actually. I want to talk about that. I saw you had a conversation. Sorry, we're going completely the other way. But I had it written down, and we missed it there. I got in a hurry to get to give them the steroid talk. Ronnie Hillman being named as the number one running back on the depth chart in Denver going into preseason mean anything to you, or is it just a paperwork kind of thing?
No, I don't really think it does. I still think the cream's going to rise to the top. And, Hillman's going to get playing time, as is Marino.
Is Ball. I think away from this situation altogether. I don't think it matters who's number one. I think it's going to be like the Steelers last year. Whoever's not bumbling, whoever gets on a bit of a roll between Dwyer Redman and the few times Mendenhall was healthy, I don't think any of these guys have any fantasy value for me.
Maybe not a lot of fantasy value, but I do think as of right now, and of course as training camp progresses and preseason, we'll get a better feel of what's going on. I think you know what you're getting with no Sean Marino more than any of these other guys.
True.
Right? He's going to have some fantasy value that you know for sure.
Perhaps.
Maybe not a lot. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just a feeling in a bye week, that sort of thing. you know, somebody gets hurt, he becomes a starter. Like last year, he actually proved to be fairly
effective.
For a
3 or 4 game stretch, he was one of the best running backs in the league over that stretch.
But right now, okay, yeah, Hillman is a starter. I'm just not high on Hillman, and I think Monte Ball is going to be the best back in Denver, but we'll just have to wait to let it play out.
All right. Well, let's get past that. Let's get past the quarterback debate. Nothing much to talk about there. Now, the running back debate, that could pretty much fill the rest of the show. At the top, we're showing Peterson is one, Charles two. Again, it's a tie. I had Peterson one. You had Charles one. I put Charles, too. He makes me a little nervous. I know you're all in on Jamaal Charles. No sense debating that. I think the first name, something you and I agreed on, Rick, and I sort of knew that going into it. I actually still have Ray Rice at number 3. I have him one slot ahead of Arian Foster. You had him at 4, one step below Arian Foster. Here you talk about draft value, Rick. We got together last weekend, picked the draft order for our work league, the Caveman League we talk a lot about on this show.
Our League of Consequence.
What was it, 7-8 I ended up with? I'm going to get Ray Rice there. Here's a guy I have as valued as the number 3 running back in the draft. I don't buy the Menard Pierce thing. They got him signed up long term. He's Ray Rice. He's going to catch 70 balls. Why Ray Rice has fallen to 7th and 8th? Because Bernard Pierce had a few carries. Well, not a few. He was a significant contributor in that playoff run. I have no fear of him, and I think Ray Rice, we talked last week with Corey about the Holy Trinity. I think Ray Rice is still part of it, and he's going to be the steal of every draft.
I'm certainly not going to argue with you there. I mean, like I said, I have him at 4, and, of course, it could change. But I just like the way Arian Foster scores touchdowns. And I think that's the only thing that's keeping him a little bit above Ray Rice for me right now. But,
yeah,
hey, look, they're 3 and 4.
Yeah, exactly. So no debate there. I think the next thing interesting at 5, I had him 5th overall. You had him 6th overall. Sort of the consensus number 2.5, number 3 guy in most experts' ranking, Doug Martin. Look, we got him in the top 5. I don't want to say we're devaluing him at all, but we have Doug Martin lower than most folks do.
Yeah, that's true. I got him at 6. You have him at 5. That averages out on our rankings at number 5 right now. Like I said in my rankings, I put on the old site and the blog page, which we have to update with that. The only reason that I have him, number one, he's only a second-year guy. Number two, you know, is Tampa going to have this second-half collapse again?
It's possible. That's what
they
do.
Hoping not. If not, and look, Doug Martin was very, very inconsistent last year.
Yeah.
You know, we had Dennis Farrell on, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, and we were talking about some of the stats. He had like 82 fantasy points in 3 games, or something like that, and then would virtually disappear. You know, that's why he's a little bit lower, because I want somebody you know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So that's why I have him at 6.
Yeah, you know,
I got Marshawn Lynch ahead of him at 5.
That
with the thinking, okay, this suspension stuff is going into 2013. If it develops as such, obviously we're going to have to adjust that.
Yeah, right
but
now.
I like Marshawn Lynch better than Martin right now, because he is that 110-yard guy.
Yeah.
110, 120-yard guy is a touchdown, 2 touchdowns, whatever it is.
I worry about Marshawn Lynch. I actually moved him down to 8. You know, there's a guy I was real high on. I worry about him losing goal line touches the way Russell Wilson plays. They got Percy Harvin in. He's going to see the ball down around the goal line. They're going to be doing some crazy things. I worry about Lynch. That 110 yards is really nice, but you got to couple it with a touchdown. He's not a PPR guy. He doesn't catch a lot of passes. Marshawn Lynch, a guy I really like. I just like watching him run. I had him on several teams last year. Be happy to have him this year, but he averaged out to 6th on ours, 5th on yours. That's a little pricey for me. I think the next name worth bringing up, I don't know how many times we've had this debate, C.J. Spiller. You got him at 7. I got him at 9, a lot lower than a lot of other people. Is there any sense having that discussion again? I think anybody who's listened to this show before knows where we stand there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, move on. Chris Johnson showing at 10. You have him at 8. I have him at 11. Here's a guy, Rick, I think might be the biggest wild card in the early part of your drafts. So this guy's going to go as a number 1, probably deserves to be a number 1. Probably deserves to be a top 10. I deliberately put him at 11 and made everything else fit around it just because I don't trust him to be a top 10. He had some really nice games last year. He had some fantastic games, then just disappeared. I'm not sure, Rick, what are you pointing at? What's going on?
Well, I hear a lot of static in my headphones, and I thought maybe something was cutting off there. We apologize there if it is.
Yeah, I know. Actually, now that you bring it up, I'm hearing it too. So you talk, Rick. I'm going to see if I can't solve that.
Okay, yeah, we were talking about Chris Johnson. We have him at 10. I had him at 8 and Rick at 11, which brings up an interesting point. You broke Steven Jackson in as a top 10, where
right.
I had him just out at number 11 right now. And I'm not so sure Steven Jackson's not going to break into my top 10 before the season's over. It's hard to say. However, one thing about Chris Johnson is you know what he's capable of doing. I don't think he's the Chris Johnson he was 3 years ago.
No, certainly not.
But is he still good for 1,500 yards and 8 to 10 touchdowns? I think so.
Yeah, especially in that offense. I love what that offense is doing, no question about it. He's not going to have to carry the ball 300 times. It's going to be in limited carries, but I think it's going to be in play action. I think it's going to be solid what you get out of him. And I think I like him as a top 10 kind of guy. I'm that excited about him. We know the skill set he has, the numbers he put up on some terrible teams the last couple of years. You put him in that kind of offense, I think you're looking for big things.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And, I don't know if we're actually broadcasting with a static. We're both kind of having stuff
in
our ear.
Anybody in the chat room,
if we're coming across broken up, let us know. But if we sound okay, then we'll just run with it. So, I don't know, maybe just some sort of.
Might be. Hopefully it's on our end and not coming through over the air. So, let's keep moving, Rick, ever forward. As we say, both had Alfred Morris right at 12. I actually had him at 13, but no big deal. Maurice Jones-Drew, a guy going after a lot of the names. I was surprised. I thought I'd have him a little higher than you. I had him 12. You had him 14. Matt Forte, we were dead on. Both had DeMarco Murray at 15. Darren Sproles, we both had at the same place. I'll tell you what, Rick, we went just about in order until we got to, here we go again, Darren McFadden. Look, me ranking him 16 isn't that bold. You having him down to 22. This is where this guy's going. Is there a steal out there, Rick? Is it possible?
Well, obviously it's possible. Who do I have over him that you do not? I got Frank Gore over him that you do not. I guess a bit of a stretch. I got Chris Ivory over him.
Yeah, that's the next one I want.
But I do like Chris Ivory starting with the Jets. Look, I've already made that point. I mean, Sean Green was over 1,000 yards, 8 or 9 touchdowns. I think Chris Ivory's an upgrade, and I think that he could certainly be a high-end RB2. And I just don't trust McFadden, so I got him a couple steps below him.
And that's where you have him. You have him at 20 as a clear number 2. I did the same thing on purpose, deliberately put him at number 25. Made everything else sort of fit around it because, look, from what I've seen of him in short stretches, unfortunately mainly in the preseason, I love what the kid can do. I don't trust that Jets offense. It's going to be terrible again, no question about it. Look, Chris Ivory, I don't know if I'm ready. I'd love to have him in a flex, have some room to work with him. If I have him as my overall number 2, though, I get a little bit nervous.
Yeah. And I think one thing to hit on that I thought was very interesting – and it just goes back to 2 or 3 podcasts ago, and we were discussing him, that you're so obviously a lot higher on him than I am, is Eddie Lacy. You have him at 22. Right now I have him at 34, which gives him our ranking at 27 on the site.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a guy I know you're a big believer, and a lot of guys are big believers in Jonathan Franklin. I just think a guy like Eddie Lacy, a guy with his pedigree, a guy able to run people over. We've seen it in college. I'm just so impressed with him, Rick. That's just a gut feeling. I'm not the draftnik type. I'm not a college football expert outside of, what happens at Pitt and in the major game Saturday night, on ABC. Not a huge college guy. Just from what I've seen of this guy, it's a gut feeling. I'm just high on him. The running back in the Packers offense, again, sort of to the point of Steven Jackson, isn't going to get 300 touches. He really isn't. But in play action, he's going to be effective when they run the ball. Right now, I'm setting my bet on the fact that it's going to be Eddie Lacy's job. Franklin's going to be behind him, and I think Lacy's going to be successful. Look, I have him in as a number 2 running back right now.
Look, and I've got Franklin, rated below Lacy. I'm actually believing that Lacy may be the guy. I'm just not. I'm thinking Franklin is going to get enough of his playing time, plus the fact that it is the Green Bay running backs. I just can't right now afford to rank them all that high. And so that's where I'm at. Do I like Lacy? Certainly. Do I like Franklin? Yeah, I like Franklin. I'm just not crazy about which one's going to win the job.
No,
plus, I'm
look,
not crazy about the Green Bay running game right now.
Come the third preseason game, these rankings could change dramatically.
Yeah, certainly.
If Franklin's emerging as the guy. I think if Eddie Lacy's the guy, that's the kind of numbers he puts up. Talking about guys we have really far apart, Rick, here's one. We have 12 spots different. You have Rashard Mendenhall at 25th overall. This is a guy, you've talked about him a lot in the preseason. You're really high on Rashard Mendenhall.
Well, at 25, he's actually out of being an RB2. I don't consider that sky high. On a starting, as a starting running back, you know, for an NFL team. So, am I high on him? Not really. However, I think he is a massive upgrade in a massively upgraded offense.
That's
with a
true.
Competent quarterback and a good wide receiving core. Now, let's not forget their defense is still not that bad. They actually can start putting some points on the board, and the defense is holding their opponents down a little bit. They may be running the ball a lot more.
Yeah. And
so, you know, their offensive line is marginally improved. So I like the fact that Mendenhall could actually be an RB2.
What I'm going to be interested to see, and you could see Mendenhall, he's one guy I've identified as someone I'm going to keep an eye on, and you could see start creeping up my rankings quickly. Maybe not creeping up, start shooting up my rankings. This guy coming out of college was known for being a pass-catching running back. For whatever reason, irregardless of who the Steelers bring in, coach-wise or player-wise, it's not a part of their offense. It's just not what they do. Is it something that could happen in Arizona? If you see him starting to become part of the passing game, which I agree with bringing Palmer in, with Fitzgerald now going to be, I think, way back to relevance, we'll get to that when we get to the wide receiver rankings, it opens that up a little bit. If he becomes an integral part of that passing game in these PPR leagues, you see him definitely move up into that number two. I think he's going to go up in yours to get into that number two running back kind of. Look, this is a guy 2-3 seasons ago was going eighth overall. He was
That's
a consensus
Bruce Arians
eighth
team
overall.
Again.
Exactly. So you put that together. If he becomes part of the passing game, he's the one that I look at after I did him that I think I may have way too low. But I'm going to stick by it. Give me a couple preseason games. Let's see what they're going to do. If he's catching the ball, he shoots way up and becomes a clear RB2. I'll agree with you there.
All right. Well, let's move on to wide receiver.
Wow, we're almost out of time.
That is
we
about,
haven't talked about anything yet.
Well, we never do.
Anything of value, anyhow.
Well, it's fun.
Yeah, for you, maybe.
Well, of course. I get to hear my voice. Obviously, yeah. It's fun. So here, and wide receiver, of course, surprise, surprise, Calvin Johnson's one with both of us. A.J. Green's two with both of us. We have Dez Bryant and Brandon Marshall flip-flopped. I actually have Brandon Marshall at three, and you have him at four, and vice versa with Dez Bryant. So no big heartburn there. Fitzgerald, we both have at six. I think the biggest discrepancy is Roddy White, which I have at five,
yeah,
and you have at eight, which gives him a ranking of seven on our site. And, I mean, you know how I feel about Roddy White. The guy does not miss games. He's on a great team. He's got great hands. He's a dominant presence out there. And I just like Roddy White.
Whoa, there was some sort of Skype noise. I hope we're still on the air, Rick. You hold on. Nope, I think we are off the air. Oh, fantastic. Let's see. Skype's trying to get us back.
Yeah, I guess we'll
pad for a little bit. Tell us a story.
Well, yeah, we will tell a story because, you know, I put it out about, I think, since 2007. He hasn't missed a game.
Yeah.
I mean, how much more dependable than that can you get?
Absolutely. No
he's over 100 catches every year. And, I mean, the guy's awesome. And that's why I have him at five. When it comes right down to it, if I'm drafting a team, and if I've got to make a pick.
Gertie's going to come on and tell us if we can get back on it. Nope. Gertie still won't get us back. This one, we might have to put up the what do you call it there, Rick? Put up the the recorded feed, I guess. I'm all flustered now, Rick. You're going to talk while I try to get this back.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's all right. You are all flustered, but what are you going to do? But anyway, that I guess we just go on past. Here we go again. Here comes Patty.
Oh, here we go. Nope.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
Go.
Well, thank you, Gertie. I believe we're back, and now something wacky's happened with my screen. There we go.
I certainly hope we're back.
All right. They got us in the chat room there, Rick.
We're back.
All right, good. We're
finally back.
So you're talking about Roddy White. You have him at five. Who I have at five is Demaryius Thomas. Rick, the more I think about Demaryius Thomas, everybody, look, he's clearly a top 10 guy. There's no debate there. This is a guy, when it's all said and done, Rick, you might be talking about up in the A.J. Green range. I don't think anybody touches Calvin Johnson. You bring Wes Welker into town, number one. So you have that. Opening things up over the middle. You have Peyton Manning there. He's just such a big guy. He reminds me, I think we have Brandon Marshall that high. Calvin Johnson, based on their size, what they can do.
Dez Bryant.
Yeah, the speed Demaryius Thomas has. This is a guy I have at five now. I think he could end the season up towards three. Look, I'm a big Roddy White fan. I'm like you, Rick. We had the conversation with Marshawn Lynch. I like the steady guy. It doesn't get any steadier than Roddy White. We have Roddy White and Julio Jones 7-8. That's how they panned out. 7-8 is how they ended up. The problem with both of these guys, I think Roddy White's more consistent. Jones does it more flashes. But they're sharing the ball. You still got Tony Gonzalez in town. You got Steven Jackson. They're sharing the ball a lot. Demaryius Thomas, with all the weapons in Denver, is the clear number one with a solid, solid quarterback like Peyton Manning. I just love what that Denver team does. So Demaryius Thomas is a guy I'm just really high on. And I think I may have him too low at number five right now.
Yeah, and that remains to be seen. I mean, it's certainly two of the best offenses you're going to see this year, I'm sure. And, but, you know, you look at the rankings, and you brought up a good point. Now you get Calvin Johnson, Green, Dez Bryant, Brandon Marshall, Demaryius Thomas, Larry Fitzgerald, Roddy White. That's our top seven. Those guys are all big, and they play big.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's one thing I made the point last year. You compared Dez Bryant and Miles Austin.
Yes.
If you look at their statures, they're basically the same wide receiver.
True, very true.
Dez Bryant plays twice as big.
Yeah, oh, no doubt
as
about
Miles Austin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
Austin just has turned into and probably always was a slot guy. He has value. I think his value's gone down, certainly. But let's go through, Rick. I think one thing that's going to get us in trouble here in the fantasy community, we talked about it last week with Corey, Randall Cobb. You have him at 15. I have him at 17, averaging out to 16 in our rankings. Pretty unpopular opinion, I think, in the fantasy community right now.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But, you know, I look at who I have ranked over Randall Cobb in my rankings, and I don't feel uncomfortable. Look, I'm not taking Percy Harvin below him.
No.
I'm not taking, I'm not taking Vincent Jackson below him. Any of the guys mentioned above him, including Victor Cruz, I'm going to take ahead of him. So, you know, I think he's where he is. I mean, okay, I got Wes Welker one spot ahead of him. You got him, I think, one below him. Or no, I actually have Welker ahead of him as well. But, you know, that's a little iffy. You know, Welker's is a proven veteran, and he's with Peyton Manning.
I'm still high on Wes Welker. I'm still high. He's sliding down. Here's a guy, Wes Welker, in PPR leagues, who is sometimes in years past the third or fourth overall because you know you're getting 10 catches a game. Is he going to get 10? I don't know. He's got to compete with Demaryius Thomas. There's a lot more miles to feed in Denver than there ever was in New England. But he's Wes Welker. He's a new toy for Peyton Manning, a matchup nightmare for defenses that Peyton Manning lives to exploit. I think I have Wes Welker at 13. I may have him a little too low in a PPR league. I'm not ready to devalue him because he's out of that New England system. If anything, like I said, you give Peyton Manning a new toy, a matchup problem like that. Demaryius Thomas is already a matchup problem for any cornerback out there. Wes Welker is a complete, we've seen it for years, a complete nightmare for tight ends and safeties trying to cover him. I may have him too low at 13.
And I'm still going to maintain the point with what you're saying about Welker and Demaryius Thomas and so forth with Denver. You know Demaryius Thomas. You know his story. He's the number one guy out there. He's drawing the top coverage. Now you got Wes Welker in the mix, guy cutting across the middle, crafty, quick guy, going to draw some attention. Be mindful that Eric Decker's still out there, and can, I think he has a possibility of turning into Denver's James Jones of last year. I think
right,
he could
good.
Catch a
right.
lot of touchdowns.
Okay, see, I thought, and I was ready to fight with you, that somebody's catches have to go down, and I think it's clear it's going to be Eric Decker.
I do, too.
Here's
However,
what Eric Decker's going to do.
I think he could make a lot of big catches for touchdowns.
Certainly. I think he could definitely put up touchdown numbers. Here's the other thing that's going to happen with Eric Decker. It's going to be tough. You're going to have to play the matchups. You're going to have to take the risk. If you have a real solid team, Eric Decker's the kind of guy I would love to have in the flex. He's going to have some down games. There's going to be three or four games, Rick, where he goes completely nuts. He's going to get the good matchup. Thomas is going to be drawing the double coverage. They're going to be working a safety in on Wes Welker. And Eric Decker is going to be running around all by himself for several games. You're never going to know when they're going to become. There's going to be a handful of games where Decker's going to go nuts. So we both have him way low on our rankings. Here's a guy I'm going to love to have. And when we're going through the bye weeks and you're sort of scratching to have a flex type of player, that's the kind of guy you're looking for. Huge upside. There's going to be some 8, 10, 12 catch games for 160 yards coming out of him. He's going to disappear for some games, too, when Thomas is owning whoever he's matched up against or Welker's running free on a linebacker who can't keep up with him. That's going to be the norm. There's going to be a couple of games where you're going to see Thomas and Welker get keyed on, and Decker's just going to go completely nuts, and I pray I have him slid into a flex spot when that happens.
Yeah, that's true. No doubt about that. All right, let's move down to our 21st-ranked wide receiver, and here's a second real disparity. I have him higher than you do. This I have him at 16. You have him at 26 is Reggie Wayne. Now, Arians is gone, and I don't think they're going to be quite as wild and crazy. I mean, they were really throwing it wild there for a while last year. However, I still think Wayne, being the veteran guy, he's played with Peyton Manning. He's still Andrew Luck's guy, and he's a real veteran presence out there. I think he's going to cap his career with a couple of big years yet.
Yeah, I don't disagree. So all I can do is go through and look at the guys I have just ahead of him. At 25th, I have Steve Smith. You have Steve Smith at 23rd. He come out to 25 in our rankings. Here's a guy, Rick. You want to talk about a steal? 2 years ago, I believe it was, Cam Newton's rookie year. He's easily a top 10 guy if he wasn't pushing the top 5. He's just putting up huge numbers. We agree, and I think most fantasy experts, air quotes again, agree that Steve Smith or that Cam Newton is at least the number 3 quarterback this year, what he's going to be able to do. Steve Smith's the only receiver on that team. We all talk about LaFell breaking out and some of these other guys. Nobody's ever done it. It's Steve Smith. This guy.
No, they haven't. You're right. LaFell didn't do bad last year. Geddes was injured. He was showing some promise. I think they have a decent enough core there.
Yeah, yeah. And right above that, I got Stevie Johnson's. I have him at 24. So now we're into our number 2. Stevie Johnson, I'm not real comfortable with. Reggie Wayne versus Stevie Johnson, that's a coin flip for me every day. Move down to 23, Torrey Smith.
With the Buffalo quarterback situation.
You don't know what it's going to be. Somebody's still going to catch the ball, though, and that's what it is. And Smith, he could go up, he could go down. I'm not really sure. So, that one I'm not going to spend a lot of time arguing. I could go either way. Torrey Smith, we both have him 22, 23, but I have him ahead of Reggie Wayne. I think that team wants to. What's going to remains to be proven is if they can. That team wants to throw the ball more, Rick. Baltimore wants to throw the ball. You saw some of it in the playoffs. They give Flacco that huge money.
Oh, you're talking Torrey Smith. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want to throw the ball. That's all I can say. And if it pans out, he's the number one guy. Good speed, good hands, just something to keep an eye on. I'm high on Torrey Smith. Pierre Garçon, I have him at 22. We talked about it with Corey last week. If healthy, he has a good rapport with RG3.
Right.
Pierre Garçon was looking like a number one for a small stretch there
last
year.
Coming off the foot.
See, these guys are all coin flips. And Reggie Wayne, what it comes down to, Rick, you know, I'm not going to keep going the whole way through the list. I'm bored with it already.
But see, I kind of, you almost, to me, you know, kind of solidified my position. Garcon, Smith, Torrey, I should say, not really so much Steve, but Torrey Smith, Pierre Garcon, Amendola to me, Stevie Johnson, Eric Decker, even Cecil Shorts. Yeah, those are question marks to me. Reggie Wayne isn't that big of a question
mark
to me.
You're right, but I think what we saw out of Reggie Wayne, I'm going to say he's going to tick down a little bit. He's just a year older. Andrew Luck's going to get figured out a little bit. I think there's higher upside on these guys, and I think when I get down into my low-end number two receiver, Rick, I tend to look for upside. And to be fair, let's just jump down to the next name, and we're almost out of time here, and then we'll move on to the tight ends real quick. There's just one point I want to make on the tight end. Rick, you have Cecil Shorts at 20, so a mid-level number two wide receiver. I have him at 32. That might be our biggest disparity. Defend that one.
Well, you know, and I just lost my screen.
Uh-oh, we off the air again?
No, I don't think. No, we're okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
good.
We're okay.
Well, this show's turning out to be a disaster.
Oh, yeah, but, you know.
Most of them are.
That's what happens when you have boobs like us doing this.
Fair point.
But anyway, no, you go ahead. I want you to convince me, first of all.
Convince you of why you have him there?
No, why you have him so low.
Oh, okay. But bottom line, he plays for Jacksonville. Yeah, Henny come in last year, put together some big numbers. That's where Cecil Shorts had his luck. They're doing everything they can to give that job back to Blaine Gabbert. I don't believe in him. Shorts, for a good part of the year, I believe there's going to be a suspension there for, my God, for Justin Blackman. My mind just went blank. We got too much going on with the equipment here. I can't pay attention. Can Cecil Shorts do it as a number one? Is that passing offense good enough to justify him as a number two wide receiver? Look, he certainly performed as one last year. For a stretch, he performed as a low-end number one receiver. Can he do it over 16 games? Can he do it as a spotlight guy with Blackman? Obviously, injury concerns. I believe he's going to be starting on the PUP list, facing a possible suspension if he hasn't been suspended already. I just don't think he can, Rick. I don't know. It's just I find it interesting, and
I agree with you. I don't trust him. Look, I agree. He's a concussion risk. He had the problems last year. No doubt about that. I just like the kid, and maybe this is ranking through rose-colored glasses. I don't know.
Perhaps
because I mean I really like what I saw in him last year. Injury risk, certainly with those concussions. I don't even like talking about these concussions anymore. It seems like every time you bring one up, the guy's out for a month.
Yeah, no question about it.
Hopefully Blackman gets it together. That's the key to me. If Blackman gets it together, gets his head straight, and can play like Justin Blackman does, Cecil Shorts isn't number one anymore.
Right. That's a lot of ifs.
That is why I really like Cecil Shorts.
Their quarterback situation. Gabbert's awful. They want him to start. I guarantee you Blaine Gabbert begins the season as a starter.
They may, but if they lose three in a row, he won't be starting
anymore.
That's right.
Can Henny do it again? Was what we saw out of him last year really who Chad Henny is?
Yeah, I think it is. He can wing the ball. He didn't put up magnificent stats by any stretch.
No, certainly not.
He's always been able to move the ball.
Okay, fair. And here's my thing with Cecil Shorts. Maybe this is why I have him. Maybe 32 or wherever I have him is a little low. One name that comes to mind, Laurent Robinson.
Exactly.
He did what Cecil Shorts did last year in Dallas. He went to Jacksonville. And then what happened? Where'd Laurent Robinson go? I don't believe he's with a team right now.
No, he's actually worked out with the Lions.
But he's in the Lions.
He hasn't been signed, and if he does, I think he's going to get buried in that depth anyway.
So I fear Cecil Short suffers the same fate. You pop your head up, you look good, you become a full key component of that Jaguars passing game, and your career's over. You're hoping to back up. Calvin Johnson's backup, basically, is what your career turns into.
Yeah, that's very possible. All right, let's move on to tight ends before we run out of time. We only got a couple minutes.
Yeah, we'll run over a little bit.
No huge surprises here. The biggest thing is you are pretty down on Gronk. You have him at 7. I have him at number 2.
I am stunned, Rick, you have him at number 2.
Look, I saw him in an interview where he jumped up out of that easy chair talking to Dave. kept badgering about Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
He jumped up out of that chair like nothing had ever happened to his back. I'm fully convinced that Gronkowski is
Hold on.
Fine.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Yes, I'm telling you.
So your basis for Gronkowski being healthy, coming off 5 surgeries in the last 9 days, I believe it was. I checked my math there, but it's
nine
pretty close.
Days?
Something like that.
Nine
yeah.
months?
Perhaps that too. Yeah. You know, potato, potato is the way I see it. Based on the way he got out of a lazy boy recliner, that's what you're basing his relative health on going into the 2013
season. He's fine, trust me.
Have you been hanging out with Jim Day? Is that what's happening?
You know, there's worse people to be hanging out with.
Well, that's true.
There's worse people to hang out with.
I agree. I agree with that. But I believe, you know, Jim has a bit of a man crush on Mr. Gronkowski, and now I'm starting to see that sparkle in your eyes that we see in his.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, there's only, to me, there's only two guys, or forget Jimmy Graham. He's our consensus
number one.
There's only two guys that I would rank over Gronkowski, and that is Tony Gonzalez and Jason Witten.
Okay.
If it were... I'm not ranking Vernon Davis over him. I'm not ranking Kyle Rudolph, Dennis Pitta, JerMichael Finley, Pettigrew. None of these guys over Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm. No, look, if I knew Gronkowski was healthy, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I based my number 7 ranking on, I don't think the kid plays 8 games.
Fair enough.
I really don't.
Fair enough.
And I'm going to draft him, assuming, I generally try to draft, if a guy's healthy, you can't draft assuming he's going to get hurt. He isn't healthy. He's already hurt. I don't care if he's doing cartwheels over that damn lazy boy. It doesn't matter. He's hurt. Now, what I'm going to have to defend, Rick, once again, this is the second year in a row, having Vernon Davis at number 2 as my tight end. I'm hoping I'm right this time.
That's what I was going to hit you up with. Since you have him at number 2, we had this discussion last year. I totally disagreed. You thought he was a second. I think the big year was an anomaly. I just don't think that he is. They just don't scheme for him to be that guy.
For the second year in a row, though, down the stretch, the last few games of the regular season, and through the postseason, when they made him a focal point of the offense, he put up huge numbers. Colin Kaepernick tended to lean on him, especially when we got into the playoffs.
That's true.
So it's going to be hard to make this argument. If you believe Kaepernick continues to be successful, the way Colin Kaepernick plays fits right into what Vernon Davis can do. Kaepernick's scrambling around. Davis is getting open. He's a size match. He's a size disaster physically, and I think that's what I get hung up on, Rick. Maybe it's that Under Armour commercial, that click-clack commercial from a few years ago. He is such a physical freak. His play, we just went off the air again, Rick. His play has never been the issue. It's you nailed it. It was they didn't game plan for him. So as I try to call back in here and talk at the same time, good thing I'm not chewing gum, I'd freaking pass out.
Well, I know. But anyway, you know, the thing is with Bolden in there, Crabtree's gone, Bolden is in there. It's almost like Bolden could replace him as tight end. I mean, with that.
Could he, though?
Huh? No, I mean, I don't know. I'm just not convinced.
When did Anquan Bolden become Calvin Johnson, by the way? The talk of him going out there has been the biggest deal since the New Deal, if you want to go there.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This Skype call-in number is full at the moment.
The
Please try dialing the Skype name BTR Host 2.
I will not. Well, this is a disaster.
What can you do when Skype doesn't connect?
Yeah, I guess we blame Skype. I was about to go on a Blog Talk rant, but I think it's Skype I'm angry with.
Yeah, I'm mad at the whole situation right now.
Since it appears you're calling back into
a
live show,
Gertie.
We are reconnecting you now.
Gertie, you ignorant slut. All right, so Rick,
what
are we talking about? That's good. We're already over. Let's just keep going. We owe everybody about 5 minutes of content here, thanks to Gertie.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll just leave it at that right now. You got Vernon Davis at 2. I just don't have him that high.
All right, here's what Here's what I was struck by when I did the tight end rankings. I thought it would be easy, like the quarterback ranking. Yeah, I don't want to say they were easy, but you don't have near the amount of people to deal with. You know what's what. So let's say in any order, Rick, we had Jimmy Graham, Tony Gonzalez, Gronkowski. I had Vernon Davis. You didn't have him part of that. After that, so let's stop at Gronkowski. It got real hard after that.
Yeah, it did.
Antonio Gates isn't part of the mix, and I want to talk about him before we get out of here. We both had Kyle Rudolph at five. I liked what I saw out of him last year, but Kyle Rudolph at five, you don't have those big names. It's not as obvious. So I guess the question I want to bring up, Rick, then do you take a run at one of these top five guys, these top four guys we can all agree on, or do you wait? Do you play the matchups? Do you try to strike gold? What do you do with the tight end position now? I'm never going to be the Jimmy Graham guy taking him early in the second round.
Well, I actually, in the FF Oasis Invitational that we participated in, I was coming.
Still participating in. That thing will never end.
Yeah, your draft has been to a crawl.
Oh, it's brutal.
But I came up in the third round, and Jimmy Graham was sitting there. I couldn't pass him up.
It's hard.
And
the
so,
guys around him, I assume you had
so,
your
yeah,
running back position solidified. That's where you can do it.
Yeah, so that's... You know,
that's going to be the only draft you're in, Rick, that he's available there. I almost guarantee it.
I'm positive of that. You're right.
So would you get down there? Dennis Pitta, we both had at six. Do you feel that good about Pitta? I like what I saw at him, but do you feel that good about him? Then we go Brandon Pettigrew, Jermichael Finley. Greg Olsen's a guy I think gets undervalued. You had him at nine. I had him at 10. I think I could see him finishing up higher. Owen Daniels, Fred Davis. How about Antonio Gates? You have him all the way at 20. I still put him at 8. If he's healthy, he's still Antonio Davis. And I know it's a big if.
Antonio Gates, not Davis.
Antonio Davis. Well, I got the NBA on my mind for some reason.
Or Vernon Davis.
That might be it. My man, you got to be kidding me. All right, Rick. I think we're just going to try and wrap it up here. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Yeah, hold on. Let's try one more time so we can at least try and hit the outro. This has been terrible. How am I going to edit this up to make it sound like reasonable?
I don't know. It's
well, I don't even have the option to call back in, Rick, if you believe that.
Well, we have lost Skype, and there's not a whole lot we can do other than finish the show. I mean, and it's, you know, anybody on Blog Talk, sorry.
We are professionals, I suppose.
Yeah, so we kind of pad as we go.
And we move on.
But anyway, what are you going to do? Can't even call back in.
No, it doesn't even give me the option to call back in. Let's see, BTR.
But we are Fleeger and Briggs, and sorry about the technical difficulties with tonight's show. It was just a horror story the whole way through.
Yeah, this is a nightmare. So, Rick, tell them where they can find us. I'll cue up some music.
AsylumFantasyFootball.com. Please give us a listen.
Not this one.
not this one, because it just kind of goes in and out. We can test Rick's editing skills anyway by some of this stuff.
I might
stuff
be
here.
Up late tonight.
But we are at Asylum Football on Twitter. Please drop us a line at asylumfootball@gmail.com.
I don't know. Here's just a random song, Rick. Let's see what we get.
That's what we like.
This is a good song here. I do like this one. So, yes, we apologize for the technical difficulties. We will be back next week on the Tuesday Night Blitz. Hopefully you can continue to hear the show next week. Oh, we got the Skype thing back up. You want to try it one more time, Rick?
For what? The ending song?
Yeah, why not? Let's just see what happens. I'm curious. No, we're not going to let Gertie come back up. So that's it. Mercifully, this show has ended. It ended a few times, actually. We'll be back next Tuesday. Until then, we'll see you.
Take care.